From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age. I'm Jake Longwell. We'll open today's program with an episode of Everyman's Theater. This was one of many radio series presenting the works of author and playwright Arch Obler. Though this series is not nearly as well known as Arch Obler's plays and, of course, Lights Out. This is the first episode in this series from October 4th, 1940 on NBC. It's The Lonely Heart.
Everyman's Theater, written and directed by Arch Obler. Occidol invites you. Everyman's Theater. You'll hear it every Friday at this time and over this station. Yes, each Friday night at this time you'll hear a play, sometimes romance, sometimes tragedy, sometimes comedy, especially written for radio by Arch Obler. We think you'll look forward to it each week. Plan to listen to every program of Everyman's Theater because we believe these Arch Obler plays will interest you as few radio programs have ever done before. Tonight is the first program. Everyman's Theater presents one of the world's greatest love stories. A true love story with one of the world's greatest actresses, Nazimova. A great love story deserves great music. So tonight we have a symphony orchestra under the direction of Gordon Jenkins. But first, a word from our writer-director, Arch Obler.
Aren't you tired of all this cruelty and bitterness between men? I know I am. So, come, let's have a play of love, a strange love.
In a darkened room sits a woman, an old woman. She sits very quietly, white hands motionless. This is a room in a fashionable house in a city of the Imperial Russia of 1893. The Russia of great poverty and great riches, of great ignorance and great art. The old woman sits, listening to the thoughts in her mind.
Pyotr. Why are you in my mind? Why do I think of you now? Why is your song with me here in the darkness? Why today, Pyotr? I had put you away from me. Why have you come back today, Pyotr?
Madame, it is of the utmost importance that you listen to me.
Who is it said that to me?
Madame, it is of the utmost importance that you listen to me.
Oh, yes. 16 years ago. It was you, Nikolai Rubinstein. Oh, you have been dead so long. And yet I remember what you said that day. How strange. I should remember.
Nadezhda Valerietovna, my mission here is of the utmost importance.
Really, Nikolai, I find very little of importance in this world.
There is a young man in my music school of great poverty and pride and shyness.
Of what interest is that to an old widow with a house full of children?
If you will let me speak, Nadezhda Valerietovna.
Well?
There is one more quality this young man possesses which may interest you. His ability. Listen. Listen closely.
Nicola, I have neither a time nor the inclination for music now. What music was this? What music was this you began to play, Nikolai Rubinstein? So many years, and yet I hear it. Music, and yet not music. A voice, a man's voice. Singing to me. Saying, you're tired, Nadezhda? I tell you, there will be no weariness. You're old, Nadezhda? I tell you, you will be young. You will have life again. A glorious singing life. Oh, I tell you this, Nadezhda. I tell you this.
Thank you.
remember I said. Nikolai, tell me. Who is that?
Only a teacher in my school.
Who?
No one you've heard of. Tchaikovsky. Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky.
So I heard your name for the first time, Pyotr.
You have helped so many musicians, Nadezhda Filaretovna. Will you help this one?
Would I help you, Pyotr? No. Would you help me?
The wealthy widow of a neck.
Private railroads.
Townhouse.
Yes, country house. I had all those.
On Riviera.
Milochka. George. Julia.
Yes, yes, I had my children. I had them, but...
Nothing.
Yes. Nothing for me. How could I explain to Nikolai, to anyone, to run a house, to count my money? Oh, was this enough a life for me? I wanted...
A letter for you, madame.
Oh, your first letter, Pyotr.
I am sincerely grateful for the kind and flattering words that you were good enough to write me. It is a comfort to know there is a small minority of people, like yourself, who truly and warmly love our art.
In a moment, my pen was in my hand. I would write you, yes, yes. I was a woman past middle age. I had borne children, yes, but my husband was dead. And my children were growing in their own lives. And I had nothing. And I must have something. You, Pyotr, you, the music in you. Oh, if I could give it life and reality, my life would have meaning and reality. Yes, I would write you that, Pyotr. I would tell you. No. I threw the pen from me. Oh, what madness had come over me. I didn't need man nor God. I would pay you for your music and have done with you, yes. And then, at the concert, that very night, oh, your music. It was cold, and I wanted to be away from their smug little faces, the whole crowd of them. Oh, the night was singing with your song, Pyotr. And I walked in the dark along the boulevard, back to my home. And the soft flakes of snow wet in my face. And with every step, there was a singing in my heart. That said,
help me. I need your help, Nadezhda. They torture me with their indifference. I have written so much and it's meant so little. I am weary unto death. Help me.
I told myself, yes, I would always help you, Pyotr. Oh, do you remember your next letter?
Dear Nadezhda Filaretovna, thank you for your sweet, kind, and friendly letter. And your wonderful and kind generosity. I have finished the outline of my new symphony, the fourth.
A symphony?
I want very much to dedicate it to you.
A symphony? Dedicated to me? Ooh, how the days ran then, Pyotr. I, an elderly woman. A symphony dedicated to me.
Mother, it's so good to hear you laugh. You're very pretty when you laugh, Mother. Oh, we're so happy that you're happy, Mother dearest. So happy.
And then, 3 months, Pyotr. 3 months and not a word from you. Oh, what has happened to you, my friend? What?
She's ill.
Sick, dying.
Accident.
Cholera.
Fever. Oh, no, that couldn't be true. But with every day, the voices in my head grew louder and louder. Oh, stop. Stop saying that. Look, Piotr, he couldn't. The postman. A letter. Oh, your handwriting, Piotr.
Dear Nadezhda Filaryatovna, you must forgive me for not writing before. I am now...
What was that word?
Marry.
No. No, I must have read it wrong, I told myself. I held the letter close to my eyes.
Married.
No.
Married. Married!
No. And when I stopped crying, I dipped my pen in my tears, and I wrote you. With all my heart, I congratulate you, my dear friend. Who should be happy, if not you, the giver of such great joy to others? From my heart, I press your hand. Do not forget one devoted with all her soul. The days after that, like the days after someone who was close to you has gone away forever. The sun climbs the sky, and there are things to be done, and you do them. Then it's night. Everything is just the same. And yet, nothing is the same. Who was she, this woman who had taken your heart? Was she very young?
I love you, my husband.
Oh, would she understand you? Would she respect your shyness? Suffer your angers when fires of music blazed in you? Humor your child ways? Respect your greatness? I ask myself a thousand times, would she do all these things for you, Piotr, that anyone who truly loved you would do? How could there be an answer? No. This was my destiny. Old woman. To watch the days and the years spin around nothing. Into nothing. Always nothing. To need no one. And to have no one who needed me. How strange the night I remember now, Piotr.
Good night, Mother. Sleep well, Mother.
I lay down on my bed. Shut my eyes. Sleep. Yes. Sleep. And forget. I closed my eyes. That sound. What? The river. Yes, the river. Rushing cool through the dark. Dream? Well, why should I dream this dream?
Nadezhda!
My name? Has someone called my name?
Nadezhda!
Yes, again. Who was it? And then, someone coming out of the water. Who? Who? So dark. In my dream, I wanted to see. I had to see. A man in the water. The arms lifted toward me. I saw Piotr. You!
Not yet!
The children. Servants in my room.
What is it? Mother, you're awake and smiling.
Yes, Piotr. Somehow I knew then. You still needed me. Rumors. I began to hear rumors. And from what they said, oh, I began to see the whole horrible picture of her.
Why are you doing that, Theo? Where are you going, Theo? What are you writing, Theo? Will you make much money,
So
Theo?
This... This was the woman my friend had taken. This was Antonina, grinding his heart away with her miserable white vest and do this and don't do that. Oh, I'll put an end to this leech in your veins. I would. And I did.
He's gone off to Italy, of all places, this unpredictable Pyotr Ilyich. To Italy, without that new wife of his, and to write a new symphony, no less. I wonder where he got the money.
Clever Nikolai Rubinstein. I think he knew Pyotr. But it didn't matter. You were free. You were free to work, and as you worked, you lived. And as you lived, Pyotr, I lived. At last the day.
The 22nd. February.
Oh, never to be forgotten day. The conservatory. So many lights. Oh, so many people. The conductor. Bow to the right and to the left. Why didn't he start the little puppet? Quiet. Oh, I couldn't breathe. The baton up. I was with you, Pyotr, for the first time, even in thought, alone with you. The wings of your music lifting me to another world, where I was as young as you. Over? Oh, no, not over. Someone thrust the program into my hand.
Don't you want a souvenir of the evening?
I looked at the paper. I could hardly see. Fourth Symphony of Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky, dedicated...
to my beloved friend.
Oh, Pyotr. If the rest of my life could have been as at that moment. Your letters, talking to me. Oh, Pyotr, walking in the night, I was lonely. I wanted your footsteps echoing mine. I wanted your voice answering mine. I wanted to see you. Pyotr, why not? Why not? The thoughts in you were as my thoughts. The dreams in you were as my dreams. The music in you was mine. Oh, you'd written that to me 100 times. Why shouldn't I see you? Oh, the want in me was so great. Did the heavens take pity?
Mother?
Yes, Milichka?
Mother, look. The other carriage. It stopped.
Driver, stop. Stop at once. I looked up. My heart began to beat so strangely. I could feel the pulse of it in my throat and the sound of it in my ears. You. Piotr. You. Oh, my heart beats louder and louder. I wanted to say to you, Piotr. Piotr, do you hear it? Do you? And then, in your eyes, in a quick moment, I saw what you were thinking.
Nadyezhda Filaryetovna, I beg you, do not speak. Your wealth has given me solitude, and in this solitude is my music. Speak, and you destroy the silence which brings me my music. Speak, and you destroy the wordless perfection of our friendship.
And so I did not speak, Piotr. What answer can there be when a young man says to an old woman, "This is our friendship. Dare to change it and you destroy it." No, I did not speak, Piotr. Through all the years, I did not speak. But your music, always the wonder of your music. How do you begin to applaud you?
I always said the man was a genius.
Medal from the Tsar himself.
Yes, you must let him pat you on the back with a quick flattery of their useless hands. It didn't matter. It didn't matter as long as you wrote your music, Piotr. For me. For me. Oh, there was no weariness now. I have life again. And you gave it to me, Piotr. You. Oh, and it would last forever. Your need of me was as great as my need of you. So all of it would last as long as we lived. And I was young again. And life was good, Piotr. Everlastingly good. Oh, everlastingly. No. There was my son.
He is dying, madame.
My son dying?
He has been working beyond his strength. The illness caught him quite weakened. He is dying, madame.
Working beyond his strength? For what? For me. For the money I... Oh, Piotr. I went into his room. What's this? Vladimir? My firstborn? My darling?
Mother.
Vladimir.
Mother, help me. Help me. Help me.
Help me. Help me. Whose words? Yes, you. You, Piotr. Yes. For 13 years. Forgotten, children and home. Only you. My every waking thought, you. And the help of you. And now those same words from my son.
Help me. Help me.
Yes. For 13 years I have sinned against him. But now I would help him. At his bedside I said it. Not a prayer. Who was I to pray? You, up there, whoever and whatever you are, listen to me. Let him live, my son. Let him live even a little longer. And I will give up all else but my children. Let him live, my son. And so the compact was made, Piotr, between God and me. And all these years I've kept it. My son lived a little longer. And I died when I wrote you that letter. That letter full of the bitterness of lies, telling you it was ended between us. All lies, Piotr. For now I can tell you the truth. I love you, Piotr. There, I said it at last. I love you, Piotr. I love you. As a woman loves a man. A young woman. Young, young, young. Church bells. Why do they ring so late at night? Oh, I'm so old. My thoughts. Where should the bells? Oh, Oh, yes, I remember. Piotr, they told me yesterday. They carried you through the streets. Thousands of them mourning. Carried you and put you to rest. Piotr, why are you in my mind? Why have I thought of you now? Why was your song with me here in the darkness? Why today, Piotr? To talk to me as I have talked to you?
Dear friend, be assured I shall remember you and bless you until my last breath.
Your last letter to me.
You yourself do not realize the extent of what you have done for me. Never for one moment have I forgotten you, nor will I forget you. Because every thought I have concerning myself concerns you also. I kiss your hand with all the warmth my heart contains.
I kiss your hand with all the warmth my heart contains. Oh, Piotr. Piotr, I'm so weary. I want to rest. Sing me to sleep. Now. Beloved. Friend.
Arch Ovaler. Tonight we've had the honor of bringing you Nazimova in This Lonely Heart, featured with Madame Nazimova as Elliot Lewis. I hope you've enjoyed our program tonight, and I hope you'll be a regular listener to Every Man's Theater. Now that name has been carefully chosen, for we think Every Man's Theater will bring you week by week the kind of radio plays that will appeal to every man and every woman. Now for instance, next week you'll hear Raymond Massey in a new play about a tomorrow we hope will never happen. Then the week after that, Betty Winkler, Raymond Edward Johnson, and Catwife. And for that one, you'd better have all the lights turned on. The third week, an entirely different sort of play, Mr. and Mrs. Chump, with Walter Houston and his talented wife, Nan Sunderland. And so you see, there'll be something different every week in Every Man's Theater. Until next Friday, then.
And now, please, a word about the sponsor of this program. Every Man's Theater is Procter & Gamble's newest radio program. It's sponsored by Oxidol, Procter & Gamble's famous granulated laundry soap. In the last few years, thousands and hundreds of thousands of women have switched to Oxidol. O-X-Y-D-O-L, Oxidol. Have discarded old favorite soaps of every kind and use nothing but Oxidol in their laundry tub or machine today. Now, there's a reason for this. In the white washes Oxidol gets, its speed in tub or machine, and its safety to washable fabrics and colors. Ask for Oxidol when you get laundry soap tomorrow. And listen to Every Man's Theater next Friday at this same time. Raymond Massey in an exciting play of these days we live in, This Precious Freedom. Thank you, and good night. Every Man's Theater, written and directed by Arch Obler.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
The Lonely Heart, the first program in the series Every Man's Theater, presenting the works of Arch Obler, from October 4th, 1940, on NBC. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch with the Radio Theater, you can do so by email. Our address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And please visit our blog and website at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or streaming audio for this episode, please look for program number 1915. We'll turn now to some classic crime drama to wrap up this hour of old-time radio, as we have an episode of The Shadow, who is in reality wealthy man-about-town Lamont Cranston, who, while traveling in the Orient, discovered the ability to cloud men's minds so that they could not see him. This broadcast is from the Orson Welles era of The Shadow, from November 28th, 1937, over the Mutual Broadcasting System. It's Circle of Death.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Blue Coat presents The Shadow, the mystery man who strikes terror in the very hearts of shopsters, lawbreakers, and criminals. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear The Shadow's blood-curdling laugh, you can be sure that exciting entertainment will follow. And here's something else that you can be sure of. When you buy Blue Coal, you're getting the finest of Pennsylvania hard coal. The harmless blue coloring that identifies Blue Coal is your guarantee of clean, even, safe, dependable heat all winter long. So don't take chances. Insist on Blue Coal. Ask for it by name. Phone your order to your nearest Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. And be sure to hold on for John Barclay's important message at the end of this program. The plot murder announced for today has been postponed. Today, The Circle of Death.
Oh, Jack, what a delightful show. What a wonderful way to start our honeymoon.
Darling, when it comes to shows and girls, I'm a swell picker. Now watch me pick a nightclub.
Oh, taxi! Hey, taxi!
Darling, I think you're wonderful. I've never had such a marvelous time in my life.
Hop in, honey.
Things are pretty quiet around the theater district tonight, Bill.
Yeah, pretty thin crowd.
I don't blame folks for staying away. After those three bombings and 15 people being blown to pieces, I wouldn't be here myself if it wasn't the commissioner's orders.
Same here. Boy, has this town got the jitters.
Commissioner Weston's hopping around like a cat on a hot stove.
I hear the Midtown Association is going to ask for his resignation if he don't catch the nut that's scattering bombs around here like confetti on New Year's Eve.
A guy that's pulling these jobs sure must have it in for a lot of people.
Yeah, he's a real screwball, if you ask me. Look at the way he's always sending warnings to the newspapers before he blows another batch of pedestrians to Hades.
Yeah, and have you noticed? He always ends his notes by saying, "I hate crowds."
Yeah. Now, this is the time that crazy goof warned he'd set off another blast.
Maybe his watch is slow.
Things are going to pop if he pulls another job and kills any more people.
Well, maybe all the cops have him scared off.
Maybe.
Maybe not. Bill, look at that car. Blown to smithereens.
First killer strikes again. Five more dead. Get your paper here. Paper. Read all about the mad maniac's latest squad.
It's horrible, Lamont, horrible.
It's senseless and insane, Margot. Crimes like this always are. Turn on the radio. It's time for a news bulletin. There's a switch on the dashboard.
All right, Lamont.
Turning the attack upon the inefficiency of the police department. Tonight at Midtown Hall, a meeting of businessmen of the entertainment world and property owners is in progress. Police Commissioner Weston has been asked to defend his department and produce results or resign.
Oh, that's enough, Margot.
Washington, D.C.
Now, listen carefully.
Yes, Lamont.
I want you to go to that protest meeting right over there at Midtown Hall. Commissioner Weston is speaking, and the crowd is pretty certain to heckle his explanation of the failure of his department to catch this fiend.
I'm sure of it.
Now, here's what I want you to do. Keep quiet and watch your chance. Then I want you to cry out that Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
Aren't you flattering yourself?
Never mind that, Margot. I have a very definite reason for doing this. But a lot depends on your getting the crowd to take up your suggestion.
I'll do my best, Lamont. But where are you going?
I won't be far away. Hand me that leather case on the floor.
Right. Here you are. Am I permitted enough womanly curiosity to ask what's in it?
Just a little wire-tapping device.
Telephone?
No. No, Commissioner Weston will be talking over the loudspeaker system in Midtown Hall. Don't be surprised if the Shadow interrupts his speech. Now remember, Margot, cry out at the psychological moment. Hundreds of lives depend on it.
We don't want alibis, Commissioner!
We want action, Weston!
Crazy man's making a fool of you, Weston!
Gentlemen! As I have explained to you, every available resource of the police department has been thrown into catching this fiend. Our bomb squads have combed the city. Every known criminal with psychopathic tendencies has been rounded up and questioned. Not one fragment of a bomb has been found. No buildings have been damaged. No one person has been singled out for death. This is not an ordinary crime. We are not dealing with an ordinary criminal.
Oh, alibis! Alibis!
We've had enough.
15 people dead.
50 injured, and you talk! Talk!
Business is at a standstill.
We're being ruined. The whole city's in a panic.
Get this killer or resign, Weston.
Get out and let the mayor appoint someone in the brains of the Texas maniac before he strikes again.
Yes.
The Shadow could solve this crime without half trying.
There's an idea. The Shadow.
Yes, the Shadow, but get him.
He's cracked cases for you before, Weston.
Why don't you call him in?
He wouldn't have to do much to do a better job of it than the police have.
Get the Shadow, Weston.
What about the Commissioner? You've done nothing in 2 weeks. You're licked.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What makes you think this man who calls himself the Shadow is interested in law and order?
He's helped to trap plenty of criminals, hasn't he?
Yes, he's tipped us off occasionally, but it may have been to get rid of rivals. We have no assurance he isn't a criminal himself.
What of it? A thief can catch a thief.
I don't run my department that way.
You're not running it at all.
That's a matter of opinion.
I bet you're not running it.
I was asked here to tell you what we've been doing. You seem to think my department works with the Shadow. We don't. We never have. And as for the Shadow, and you, reporters, can spread it all over the front pages, I challenge him to uncover one single scrap of evidence that my men have overlooked. I challenge the Shadow to find this maniac.
Wait a minute. I am the Shadow. I accept that challenge, Commissioner Weston. I am working on the case. Gentlemen of the press, it will not be necessary for you to print the commissioner's challenge, but you can print this challenge to the arch fiend behind this reign of terror. Print this, gentlemen. The Shadow will trap the mass killer if he dares walk through the central arcade during the rush hour between 5 and 6 tomorrow night. Remember, the central arcade between 5 and 6 tomorrow night. I dare him to come, to walk through the central arcade.
Give me a paper.
That's 2 cents, mister.
Here's your 2 cents.
Well, thanks. Here's the paper.
No. Not that one on top. People, crowds have seen it.
Well, so what? They're all the same.
No. Give me that one underneath.
Okay. The customer's always right.
Hey, you masked murderer challenged by the Shadow. That's your extra paper.
The Central Arcade tomorrow. So he's daring me, this Shadow fellow. He knows I hate crowds. Crowds and people pushing and getting in my way. Voices talking and shouting. I hate them. And I'll show them. I'll show the shadow fella, too. I'll fool all of them. I'll accept his challenge. I'll be there at the Central Arcade. And the shadow fella will know I was there. The whole world will know. After I'm gone.
Your orders have been carried out, Commissioner Weston.
Good. There'd better not be any slip-ups.
200 patrolmen are stationed in the neighborhood of the Central Arcade. 50 picked men of the plainclothes and bomb squad will be in the crowd. If there is a crowd.
There'll be a mob after all the publicity. If I could get my hands on the shadow, I'd wring his neck for this. What time is it?
A little after 4, sir.
We better get down there pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Shall I take that call, sir?
No. I've been waiting for this. And if it's who I think it is... Hello. Hello. Listen to me, Shadow.
No, Commissioner Weston. You listen to me.
I'm listening. Quick, Connors, trace this call.
Yes, sir.
Don't bother, Commissioner. You can't trace this call. I've tapped a line. Just as I tapped the Midtown loudspeaker system last night.
So that's how you pulled that crazy stunt. You're a fool, Shadow. Don't you realize you've endangered the lives of thousands of people?
Nothing will happen if you do not interfere.
I don't take my orders from you, Shadow. You're not running the police department.
I'm not giving orders, but I need your help. Just do one thing for me, and you and not the Shadow will get the credit for the capture of the mass killer.
Oh, yes? Well, what do you want?
Just keep the crowd moving through the narrow arcade. Just keep them moving. Keep them moving. Everything depends on that.
What are you trying to do, Shadow?
To find a needle in a haystack. A man in a million.
You haven't a chance. The maniac won't come.
You overlook the fact that a dare is a powerful psychological magnet that no egotistical crazed mind can resist. Just keep that crowd moving, Commissioner. Keep them moving.
When you start figuring ways and means to save money for Christmas gifts, fuel is probably the last thing that comes to mind. Naturally, you don't want to jeopardize the health and comfort of your family. But did you know that you can actually have better heat for less money simply by burning blue coal? Here's why. Blue coal is a rich Pennsylvania anthracite, the fuel that furnaces, space heaters, and cooking ranges in this part of the country were especially designed to burn. And while other fuel prices are advancing, the cost of anthracite is not. No wonder thousands of homeowners are switching back to anthracite. No wonder anthracite is the fuel that is used for cooking purposes on the nation's crack passenger trains. They've tested all kinds of fuel and found that anthracite is far more economical because it burns long, steadily, evenly, with minimum drafts and less attention. Now, the cream of all Pennsylvania anthracite is blue coal. It comes from the mines of the famous Glen Alden Coal Company. It's tested and retested for purity and uniform sizing. Blue coal is prepared especially for home use, and it comes in all domestic sizes, egg, stove, chestnut, and pea. So if you want clean, even, dependable heat at lowest cost, always order blue coal. Phone your nearest blue coal dealer tomorrow. You'll find his name listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified telephone directory under the name Blue Coal.
Keep moving. Well, the time's almost up, Commissioner Weston.
Yes. 6:02. Oh, this is the longest hour I've ever spent in my life.
Can you beat it the way people have flocked here on the chance of seeing somebody else blown to bits by this maniac?
Looks like the Shadow was right. The way they've been swarming through this arcade.
Yeah, and watching each other like a bunch of wild animals. You see what happened to that poor guy with the Christmas box? I nearly killed him before we got him out. All he had was a doll for his kid.
I saw it.
Well, the time's up, Commissioner.
Yes. Thank heavens.
Any orders, sir?
Just keep the men on duty till this crowd thins out. They'll be going home now.
Commissioner Weston, look.
What is it?
The maniac. He's been here. Look at this piece of paper.
Where'd you get it?
In the arcade. He must have dropped it.
Well, what's it say, Commissioner?
Tell that shadow fellow I'll kill me a lot more people at 11 o'clock tonight.
Lamont, oh, I was afraid something had happened to
you. Something has. I found the maniac.
Thank heavens. Have you notified the police?
Margot, this man is a fiend. If I notified the police and they bungle things, he might kill hundreds of people. This is a job that the Shadow must handle alone.
But Lamont, he's dangerous. You might fail. He might kill you.
The Shadow won't fail, Margot. But if he should, it's far better that one die than hundreds.
Oh, Lamont, please. There must be a safer way.
Perhaps, Margot, but this is the only sure way to end the career of this mass killer. Goodbye, my dear.
Lamont. Oh, Lamont.
Lively, Connors. Here comes the headquarters car.
Yeah, it's Commissioner Weston's car. He's plenty worried about this maniac threatening to kill another batch of people at 11 tonight.
Well, he'll sure have to go out of the theater area to kill him. They won't let anybody in the district here without a police permit.
Wait a minute. Here comes a guy. Hey, you! You!
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Where do you think you're going?
Me? I'm going to work. That's where I'm going.
Got a permit?
Got a badge. See? Says I'm a night watchman. I gotta go to work.
What do you watch? Where do you work?
I watch things in the ground. Down there.
Down where?
Down under the street. Down under the planks.
Oh, I get it, Bill. He's a night watchman down on the new subway they're building.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's it. I go down them steps. Every night I go down them steps and watch.
Well, why did you say so? Get on with you. Get to your watching.
Thank you. Joe Tonetti is waiting for me so he can go home. Every night at 10:30, I take from him the job of watching.
Now, that's a job I wouldn't want any part of.
Me neither. I'll pound my feet on the street.
Oh, Joey. Joey Tonetti. Joe, you can go home now. I'm here to watch.
Hey, what's the matter? You're half a big spigback fella. You're 5 minutes late. I want to go home. Here's the keys to everything now. You watch out. Or don't you go to sleep.
The police don't want to let me come to work. But I show them the badge. You can go home now, Joey. I'll watch everything.
Okay. See you in the morning. Goodbye.
Goodbye. All those people. So many people always pushing. Pushing me. But I'll show them. I'll fix them good. I'll kill them. That shadow fella, I'll show him too. Now I'm alone. All alone.
Not quite, Anton Spivak. You are not quite alone. I am with you.
Huh?
Do you hear my voice, Anton?
Sure. I always hear voices in the dark, on the street, and here under the street where I watch every night.
Yes, Anton. But you've never heard my voice before, have you?
Well, maybe. I don't think so. What's different about your voice?
It's the voice of the shadow.
Oh, you're a pretty smart voice. How'd you find me? Where's that shadow fella the newspapers talk about?
I am more than just a voice, Anton Spivak. I am the shadow.
You're the shadow?
Yes.
Where are you hiding?
I am hiding under the cloak of invisibility. You cannot see me because I have clouded your mind. So you cannot see that which is here.
How did you get down here in this subway excavation?
I followed you down the steps.
Hmm. How'd you know where to find me?
I picked you out of the crowd in the central arcade.
How did you know I was the one?
Your eyes showed me. I knew then how much you hate crowds.
My eyes show you?
Yes. You passed close to me as I stood in the shadows.
Yeah?
The arcade is narrow. You didn't see me. No one saw me. But I saw you.
How'd you find out my name?
I followed you to the place where you live. I found out you work here. In the tunnels.
Then you followed me here from my home tonight?
Yes, Anton Spivak. All the way.
Good. You're a very clever shadow. But you must go now. Let me do my work. I ain't got much time. Now go quick before I get mad. You're plenty smart. I'm glad to know you, Mr. Shadow, but no, you have to go.
Yes, I'm smart. But you're smarter.
You bet.
Let me stay. I want to learn. You can teach me things. Then maybe we can work together.
You hate people too?
Yes. I hate crowds. Let me watch you and learn.
All right. I'll let you watch.
What are you going to do?
You just watch.
What's in this shed?
You see? Dynamite. Sticks and sticks of dynamite.
Is this what you use to kill people with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My precious dynamite. They kill the crowds I hate, see? Now, look here. Here's a stick of dynamite already fused. There's one, two, three, four, five, and six sticks of dynamite to go with it. Now, you watch. See, Shadow, I tie them in a bundle.
But how do you take that dynamite to the place where you killed all those people? It's a block away. How do you carry it?
That's where I'm smarter than you, Mr. Shadow.
Show me.
I'll show you. Now, look, see, it's almost 11 o'clock. Now, here. You see this little hook? I hook the dynamite to it.
Then what, Anton?
Wait, you hear that car overhead on the boards?
Yes.
Well, if the light is red, it will stop right over our heads. Now listen. There, you see? The light is red. Now I take this crowbar. I go up this ladder. Come on, you come with me.
Yes, I am still here. Although you cannot see me.
Now you watch. I pry the end of this plank back, see? And I hook the dynamite on the brake rods. I strike a match. And I light the fuse. And when the light changes, the car takes the dynamite with it. And when the dynamite explodes a block away, I'm still here. While the... Oh, no. You put out the fuse. You've tricked me.
And here is the dynamite.
Oh, he took it off the car. It's gone without the dynamite. And I promised I'd kill a lot of people tonight. Now I have to wait. Tomorrow the crowds will be still pushing me. Scaring me. You tricked me. That's what you did. You tricked me. Where are you, Shadow? Shadow. Come here, Shadow. Nice, Shadow. Nice, Shadow.
I'm here, Anton Spivak.
Yes, I hear you. Nice, Shadow. Come close to me.
Put down that dynamite, Anton.
No, Shadow. I light another match.
If you touch that match to the fuse, you'll die too.
But I'll kill you, and I don't care. You wouldn't let me kill people, and I don't want to live. I want to die. I want you to die too, Shadow.
Wait, Anton.
No, you blow out my match.
Yes, I have a plan. Those thousands of people waiting up the street.
Yes?
You can kill all those people. Wouldn't that be better than just killing the two of us?
How? Tell me how.
Take your dynamite and come with me. Up the steps. Up to the street.
Oh, no. No, there's policemen out there. I saw them.
But they won't see you. Any more than you can see me.
No, they will see me.
Hypnotize them. Huh? Hypnotize them. Look straight at them. Stare at them. And then they won't be able to see you.
No, 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 I'm afraid.
Think of all those people waiting to be killed. Come. Just a few more steps. I am with you. You'll be safe.
I'll try. I'll try. All those people waiting to be killed. I'll try it. But don't you leave me, Shadow, or I'll light the fuse.
I'm here, Anton Spivak. Look, there are the two policemen.
Uh-huh.
Just stare at them hard as you pass, and they won't see you.
All right, I'll try.
Well, it's past 7, Connors.
Looks like a false alarm this time. Hey, wait a minute. Here's that night watchman.
Hey, what's the matter with him? What's he staring at?
Look. Look what he's carrying.
You can't see me. You can't see me.
Dynamite. Grab him.
No, no. Take it away from him.
Let me go.
Hold it.
No, I said no.
I
got him. It's a mask killer.
No. Oh, he lied. He fooled me. He said you couldn't see me. No. Give me my dynamite. I want to kill all those people.
Hold him.
No.
Here's Commissioner Weston.
Go.
I got him. We got him. We got the maniac, Chief.
Good work. Here, let me look at him.
No. He tricked me. He said you couldn't see me.
Where'd he come from?
I followed a subway excavation, Commissioner. He's a night watchman.
No. He tricked me. The shadow tricked me.
Oh. It was the shadow.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. The shadow. I found the killer, but the glory is all yours.
Before we tell you of the Shadow's next exciting adventure, here's John Barclay, Blue Coal's famous heating expert, with an important message I promised you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Barclay.
Friends, there are just 2 more days left in November. That means that homeowners have only 2 more days in which to phone their Blue Coal dealers and get the full details on how they may have a Blue Coal heat regulator installed in their homes for a free trial period of 2 weeks. To me, this is the most unusual offer ever made. The free use of a Blue Coal heat regulator for 2 whole weeks without any obligation on your part to buy. Believe me, friends, until you've used one of these marvelous thermostats, you don't know what real comfort is. Imagine having your home warm and cozy from morning till night without once having to make a trip down to the furnace. And that's not all. You'll find you burn far less coal with this regulator, too. But don't take my word for it. See for yourself. Phone your Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. I thank you.
Friends, for your own sake, do as Mr. Barclay suggests. Phone your Blue Coal dealer tomorrow and get full details of this amazing free trial offer. Prove to yourself what thousands of satisfied owners already know, that with a Blue Coal heat regulator, you get more uniform heat, more economical heat than the most expensive oil burner can give you. But don't wait. Phone your Blue Coal dealer tomorrow. The story you have just heard is copyrighted by the Shadow Magazine. The characters in this story are entirely fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
I'm Jake Longwell. Thanks for joining me for this hour of Old Time Radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.